Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rupees. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms and grandmas out there. You know, you really are all amazing, and I'm really glad that you're here today. I actually really like Mother's Day. I'm a mom who still has kids at home, and I like my mom. I get along with her, and we live close together, so we can be together. But I realize that's not the case for everyone. And so I know that for all kinds of different reasons, some of you really struggle with Mother's Day. And I just want to say I'm glad you're here today, too. I hope today is an encouragement for everybody, because today's passage is a celebration. It's meant to be encouraging, and not just to moms, but to all women, and ultimately to all of us who are living our lives for Christ each day. It's nice to get some encouragement every now and then, isn't it? It's been a rough stretch for almost everybody. The last 14 months, life has gotten turned upside down for almost everybody. I was reading an article just literally a couple days ago, and it was titled, "On Mother's Day, Here's What Your Mom Actually Needs." And it was talking about the effect that this pandemic has had on mothers. There were some tough statistics in this article. And here's just a couple of them. It said, in all families in the U.S. that have children, in 70% of those families, both parents are working, which means both dads and moms are needed to contribute to the family income. That last year, in 2020, Americans missed more work than ever before due to childcare problems. And of the workers who missed work, 84% of them were women. These are the hardest ones. About 40% of single mothers struggle to afford food for their families. And 27% of single mothers cannot afford shelter for their families on their own income. These women need some encouragement. The article went on to argue that what moms really need right now is a society that values them. The article said, moms may love the flowers and the extra sleep on Mother's Day, unless you're a single mom, and then you don't get that. But what they need more is a culture that values the vital work that they do. It's not just showing mothers we appreciate them on a single day, but that we appreciate them all year long. Research shows that mothers are better parents and better workers when they have support. Now, that really shouldn't be surprising to us, should it? Those things are true of all of us. Every one of us operates best when we are valued and strengthened and supported. It's true in families, it's true in society, and it's true in the church. People function best as a part of the church family, as a part of the body of Christ, when they're valued, encouraged, and supported. We've talked for the last few weeks about how Jesus, after perfectly living out God's image in the world, handed his ministry off to us, the church. We are now restored so that we can reveal God to a world that doesn't know him yet. But here's the thing. At least half of that church, half of the body of Christ, is made up of women. And like moms getting lost in the midst of the chaos of the pandemic, there are times that we forget about the work that women are doing as a part of the church. The work of the church looks different for different people. And sometimes we forget to value the work that doesn't look like the work we have in our minds. There's no doubt that in our culture, we value the people up front, right? You've got to have a good preacher, good music, good musicians, maybe even someone who's published a book. That would be ideal. We like titles, pastors, missionaries, elders, worship leaders. And for a variety of reasons, there are not a lot of women in those positions. But as much as we value the people up front, we forget that most of the time, the work of the church happens one action, one conversation at a time, by normal people with no titles, no earthly authority, and no special positions. In fact, Ephesians 4 says it's the job of the people with positions to equip the church, the people who make up the church, for the work of the ministry. Well, today's passage celebrates that person, the person who does their day-to-day work in the fear of the Lord, and through their everyday actions moves the mission of God forward. Unfortunately, we don't always read today's passage that way, and it's a really familiar passage, especially on Mother's Day. Today we're looking at Proverbs 31, especially verses 10 to 31. And it's a passage about a woman. We often call her the Proverbs 31 woman. There are not a lot of passages in the Bible specifically about women, though there are probably more than we often think. But this woman is being praised. And so Proverbs 31 has become one of our go-to passages for the picture of a godly woman. One person I read called verse 30 the most cross-stitched Bible passage of all time. Okay? The problem is, I think when many women read Proverbs 31, it doesn't feel like very good news. The Proverbs 31 woman is kind of overwhelming. To a lot of people, she's become kind of a patron saint of stay-at-home moms with, like, Martha Stewart-level domestic skills. Not only does her description seem to leave out women who aren't married with children, but her to-do list sounds just plain exhausting. Get up early, go to bed late, make clothes, sell clothes, invest the money, run the household, plant a garden, sew a quilt, cook meals, help the poor, and all this while raising respectful children who adore you. Expectations like those are not super encouraging to very many women. But I think we misunderstand Proverbs 31. Our distance from the culture of the Proverbs 31 woman and from this form or genre of writing causes us to get some things wrong. The fact is that this is an incredibly encouraging passage when you understand it on its own terms. In fact, the central command of this passage is what Mother's Day is all about. Honoring not just mothers, but women who live for God in their everyday lives. Today we are going to look at Proverbs 31 and what it's actually saying, and we're going to see that honoring women of valor, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that term, but honoring women of valor moves God's mission forward. So, in order to understand Proverbs 31, there are some things we have to know about it, and they're not things that always sit right on top of the surface. The first one is that this is a poem celebrating wise women. We often read Proverbs 31 as a to-do list for women who want to lead a godly life, but it's actually a poem. This is one of the things that we totally miss when we translate it into English, but it's an acrostic poem. So each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's so long because it uses every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. As one person I read said, it's a little bit like A is for awesome, B is for brilliant, C is for courageous, except much more eloquent and descriptive for the original Hebrew listener. Most people think that we use acrostic poems because they help us remember things, and that's true, especially in a culture where not everyone read. But this acrostic poem also represents totality and completeness. Think A to Z, or Alpha to Omega, in this case, Aleph to Tav. We see the same idea of totality and completeness in where this poem is located in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. It opens with a prologue that shows wisdom personified as a woman giving a speech. We actually see this woman show up several times through the book, but Proverbs closes with this ode to a wise woman. These are the very last lines of the book of Proverbs. These women provide kind of a frame or a structure for the entire book of Proverbs. And this poem at the end, she puts flesh and action to all the ideals of wisdom that we see throughout the rest of the book. This woman is valiant, precious, trustworthy, energetic, resourceful, strong, prosperous, kind to the poor. She's pious. She's a loving teacher. We see these ideals praised throughout the book of Proverbs. And at the end, we see them again in this woman's actions in a historical time and place. So this is not a to-do list for godly women. It's an idealized portrait of wisdom personified in an ancient Near Eastern woman. And this ancient Near Eastern woman happens to be a wealthy aristocrat who runs an estate with servants and has resources to buy real estate and plant vineyards. So yes, this poem is all about her actions, but not because women today should be doing the same actions. They should be doing the actions that embody wisdom in their context. Again, this is a poem, not a to-do list, and it's honoring wise women by portraying just one of them. What's really cool about this poem is that it has a lot of similarities to a genre called heroic poetry. Marta mentioned this in her little talk there, but heroic poetry honors heroes by recounting all their mighty deeds and their military exploits. This is the kind of poetry that we see in Exodus 15 with the song of Moses and Miriam, as they celebrated God as a mighty warrior who led them out of Egypt. This is the kind of poem that we see in Judges 5 with the song of Deborah and Barak after they defeated Sisera's army. This is the kind of poetry we see in 1 Samuel 18 when the women are singing the praises of Saul and David. We're going to see here in a moment that the vocabulary and the expressions used in this poem sound more like an ode to a military champion than they do a domestic scene of a woman going about her daily tasks. What the author of this poem has done is taken the everyday actions of a wise and godly woman, and with his literary style, he has elevated them to the value of a heroic military victory. This poem is honoring wise women the way heroic poetry honors great warriors. It's even more shocking that this poem took root in an extremely patriarchal culture. In the ancient Near East, women were pretty much valued either for producing sons or for being extremely beautiful. Those were the options. But this poem specifically cautions about the deceitfulness of charm and beauty, and it elevates the actions of this wise woman. This woman is pictured as bringing joy and honor to her husband and good to her community, not by producing sons, but through her wisdom and the diligence of her everyday actions. In a world where women were either overlooked or looked at for all the wrong reasons, this poem elevates women and the work that they do. But while it honors wise women, it does so sharing a message about wisdom that's for everybody. One commentator summarized it like this. He said, "This valiant wife has been canonized as a role model for all Israel for all time. Wise daughters aspire to be like her, wise men seek to marry her, and all people aim to incarnate the wisdom she embodies, each in their own sphere of activity." So ladies, if you've ever wondered if what you're doing day in and day out matters to God, this poem should put that question to rest. Whether you are scanning groceries or painting portraits or answering phone calls or writing sermons, balancing budgets or folding socks, this poem indicates that God sees the work that you do for him and that he values it and he celebrates it. Proverbs 31 is a poem honoring wise women. But there's another often overlooked aspect of this poem that should be incredibly encouraging to us. This poem celebrates valor in women. Valor is not a word that we use very often, and it's probably not even one that you see in your English translation of Proverbs 31. And that's really kind of a shame, because it's right there in the very first line of the poem, and it sets the tone for the whole rest of the poem. Now remember, this is an acrostic, so the first line starts with the Hebrew letter Aleph, and it starts with the Hebrew words, Eshet Hayil. In English, it starts with a wife of noble character, who can find. The word Eshet means woman or wife. In this passage, there's a husband in the passage, so a lot of people translate it wife. But the word itself doesn't have to be a wife. In other places in the Bible, it's used about single women, too. But this is not just any woman. This is an Eshet Hayil. I'm sorry, my Hebrew is not great. It's Hayil. But so often you read a wife of noble character or an excellent wife. Hayil is a fascinating word that often gets translated here, virtuous, good, capable, or noble. And those are all really good qualities for women to have. But unfortunately, that translation really shortchanges the essence of Hayil. When Hayil is used for men, it is almost always translated valor, like bravery and might in battle. Other times, Hayil is used to describe strength, wealth, an army, or a force. Ladies, when was the last time someone encouraged you to go out and be a force? That's how the Proverbs 31 woman is described right from the beginning, a woman of valor. Eshet Hayil is a military term, and it's put in such a surprising context here that we feel the need to translate it using softer words like virtuous or noble. Because what would a housewife need military valor for? But that's the beauty of this poem. It's not just at the beginning. All throughout this list of this woman's many accomplishments, the poet uses surprising military imagery. In verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband trusts her. He does not lack any spoil or plunder." It's often translated, "He doesn't lack anything of value," but that's glossing over the military terms there. In verse 15, we hear she gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. But food there is actually the word for prey, like something that's been torn apart. While we look at this and think, wow, I have to get up early, what this is actually doing is the Hebrew language is imaging a lioness who hunts for prey at night to provide for her young. Verse 16 has her considering and strategizing how to take land. Verse 17 literally says she girds her loins with strength and makes her arms powerful. Girding your loins meant that you tied up your tunic under your belt so that you could move more freely, like if you were going to run a long distance or do some hard work or go to battle. verses 21 and 25, she's described as fearless. We don't see these things in our English translations, but all these phrases would have painted the picture of a battle to the original listeners. All of these together paint the picture of a woman going about her daily work with the strength, confidence, and success of a valiant warrior. Again, this is heroic poetry. But it really shouldn't surprise us that this ideal woman is described with powerful military imagery. This is not the first time in the Bible that women have been described that way. All the way back at creation, God created woman and he called her Azer Kenegdo. This is another one of those Hebrew terms that we find so jarring and out of place that we often soften it to helper or helpmeet. But Azer Kenegdo is also a military term. It was typically used in the Old Testament either for a nation that came to fight alongside of Israel, or it was used for God himself as a mighty partner and helper. At creation, this is what God called the woman, a strong, comparable partner. Women were created as warriors to stand alongside their brother in the fight to fill the earth with the image of God. In the New Testament, we see them standing alongside their brothers in the hard work of making disciples of all the nations. In Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul talks about two women. Their names were Euodia and Syntyche. Maybe that's how they pronounced it. I don't know. But contending, he talks about them and he says they were contending at his side for the cause of the gospel. These women were fighting next to him in God's mission. Ladies, you were created to fight, not for yourself, not even for your rights, but for God's mission. We see it in Genesis, and we see it again here in Proverbs 31. This woman was fully living out her gifts and her calling in her situation. She was truly a force, and not always in the typical ways. You see this woman just as likely to be out negotiating a business meal or a business deal as she was at home cooking meals. And she was just as likely to be out sweaty and dirty working in the field as she was to be clothed in her linen and purple. The point is not what she was doing at any given time, but how she was doing it. We actually see proof that it's not really the point of what the actions are. In another place in the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth, we see Boaz calling Ruth Eshet Hayil. And her life looked nothing like the Proverbs 31 woman. When Boaz called her a woman of valor, she was husbandless, penniless, and childless. She was an immigrant who spent her days from sunrise to sundown gleaning in a field so that she could feed her mother-in-law. But she did her work with valor. She was fully engaged, powerfully and sacrificially serving, using her gifts and talents and resources to their fullest extent. The encouragement is that the point here is the same for you. You don't have to look like every other woman or do all the same things that every other woman does, but the actions that you choose to do will reveal that you are a wise woman and a woman of valor. This poem celebrates valor in women because women were designed to be brave and strong and active participants in life and in God's work. And that brings us to the third thing that you need to know about Proverbs 31. This poem celebrates women's contributions to God's mission. I know on the surface it seems like a big long list of daily chores, but remember, this is a heroic poem about her and her actions. There's a lot that we don't hear in this poem because it's not a how-to manual. We don't hear about the Proverbs 21 or 31, the Proverbs 31 woman's quiet time. We don't hear how she stays in shape. We don't hear about the ladies' Bible study that she leads on Tuesday nights, because that's not the point. The point is that her actions demonstrate her wisdom and valor, And in this context, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom and valor are directly linked to a person's right perspective about God. Last week, Billy talked about the foundations. You remember the bricks that he had here. Billy talked about the foundations that we build our lives on and how without the correct understanding of God and where we fit into his creation, we can't possibly deal with all the complex questions of today. This poem in Proverbs operates on the same idea. In Proverbs 9:10, we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is simply understanding that he is God and we are not. That's the foundation of wisdom. And as God, he is powerful and holy and perfect and loving. And as humans, we are none of that. We need him. And we get the privilege of his forgiveness and his purpose in our lives. The Proverbs 31 woman exemplifies a woman who fears the Lord. It's because of this foundation that she can approach her day with strength and purpose. It's because of this foundation that she sees value not only in providing for her family, but reaching beyond into the community and even beyond to the poor and the oppressed. She knows the value of these people because she knows the Lord who created them. She knows that living abundantly and living sacrificially can coexist because she knows the Lord. This woman had the resources to put her feet up and relax, but instead she's out doing God's work. She's living the strong, fearless life of someone who has been restored. And she's living in such a way that she reveals God's character to those people around her. Listen to some of the descriptions that we hear about this woman. It says she brings good and not harm. She provides. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. It says faithful instruction, which literally in Hebrew is the law of love, is on her tongue. Who does that sound like? Sounds a lot like Jesus to me. She's revealing God in her everyday actions. And it's true, we don't know what evangelism method this woman used, but there is no doubt in my mind that a woman who lives this way convinced a lot of people to trust in the Lord. I can guarantee in her culture that speaking in wisdom and the faithful instruction on her tongue didn't happen in this kind of a setting. But it was recognizable. And it moved God's mission forward. Women in ancient Near Eastern culture didn't have a lot of freedom or a lot of options. But even in their everyday activities, they could live in the fear of the Lord, and it made a difference. This poem is celebrating these women and their contributions to God's mission. And of course, the good news is that no matter what circumstances or limitations you have in your life right now, you can be a part of God's mission too. And you can do it in the course of your everyday activities. So I'm hoping at this point that you are seeing Proverbs 31 in a whole new light and that it's truly encouraging to you. We've seen that this is a poem that's celebrating wise women. We've seen that it's celebrating valor in women. And we've seen that it's celebrating women's contributions to God's mission. But the last thing that we need to understand about Proverbs 31 is that this poem calls us to honor these things in women also. We haven't mentioned it so far, but this poem celebrating wisdom and valor in women was originally taught to a man. Way back up in verse 1 of Proverbs 31, we see that this poem was a part of the sayings of a king named Lemuel, and that they were taught to him by his mother. So at some point, Lemuel's mother encouraged him to see the value of the women in his life, to see how hard they worked, and to honor them for it. One commentator I read imagined Lemuel's mom pulling out this poem every time he was disrespectful to her, or every time he was rude to a female servant or teacher, or every time he teased his sisters. She imagined his mother yelling, "Who can find a woman of valor? Are you kidding me? Look around you, they're everywhere." Ultimately, it must have sunk in, because Lemuel saved her teaching so that we could have it today. However it was used, we see its one command or word of instruction in verse 31. Again, this is not a to-do list for women. Its one command is for everyone else. And it says, honor her for all the things her hands have done. So Lemuel wasn't just supposed to recognize wisdom and valor in women. He was supposed to honor them for it. And as much as I love Mother's Day, I don't think that honor was once a year breakfast in bed and a bouquet of flowers. Even today, in traditional Jewish homes, the Jewish men sing this poem to the women in their lives, and they do it every week before the Sabbath meal. When you look at the husband in this poem, you see that his way of honoring this wise woman is much more than even that. He trusts her. He values her. He encourages and enables the work that she does each day. Verse 28 says, he rises in respect and teaches his children to rise in respect, to bless her. Verse 11 says, his heart trusts her fully. This is a lifestyle of honoring that ultimately benefits women and men and God's mission in this world. So what does this look like for us? Well, first of all, I want to talk to you kids. You can be like Lemuel and learn to notice and respect and honor the people who work hard for you each and every day. But you also can learn right now to be a woman of valor or a man of valor. That exists in the Bible too. There's no special age that you have to reach. You can start learning to fear God and be brave and strong and work for others even now. God used really young people to move his mission forward. For men, it's simple. Honor the women around you by strengthening and encouraging them in the gifts that God has given them and the work that God has given them to do. Do it for your sisters, for your wife, for your daughters, and for other women in the community, because they are your partners in the work of the church. For women, I could go on for the next hour with all the ways that we could apply this. But I won't, because at some point it stops being encouraging. I want to leave you with these three things. Number one, see yourself the way that God sees you. He is not giving you a list of all the things that you're not in this poem. He's celebrating all the things that you are. Number two, build your theology. Know who God is and who he says you are. Because when you know those things, you can be a major force in this world for his kingdom and for the only mission that matters. And lastly, ladies, encourage one another. In a world that tells us that there is not enough attention, affirmation, or opportunities to go around, Proverbs 31 reminds us that we don't have to be competitive. We can honor and encourage the women of valor around us without feeling like we have to do all the things that they do. When your friend runs a 5K, you can enthusiastically say, "Eshet Chayil." When your sister-in-law publishes her first article, you can compliment her and say, "Eshet Chayil." When your daughter reaches out and makes friends with the new girl in class, you can praise her and say, "Eshet Chayil." Ladies, Women who fear the Lord, you are women of valor. You are brave. You are strong. You are a force. And what you do every day matters. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this poem. Lord, I have to be honest, this is a poem that I did not like for a really long time. And yet, Lord, when we dig into your word, we get such a glimpse of who you are and, Lord, your great love for us. Lord, you are so much more than we give you credit for. And Lord, we are so much more than we give ourselves credit for because of you, not because of anything that we are, but because of what you've made us to be. Lord, I thank you for every woman in this room and every woman who may be watching online. Lord, I thank you for every woman around the world who is day in and day out living their lives for you. And Lord, it's not glamorous sometimes. And it's hard and it's painful. And it's frustrating sometimes. And yet you have given us so much joy and purpose in the things that we have to do. Lord, I thank you for the variety of women that you have put into your body. Lord, I thank you that we look different, that we sound different, that we do different things, because it reflects just a little bit of the greatness of who you are. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. And I thank you for the mission that you've given to us. And I pray today that every single person here would be encouraged to go out and invest their lives in that mission. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it is in your Son's holy and precious name.